Good afternoon. My name is Peter Berg. I'm head of Special Collections, and I'd like to welcome you this afternoon to the third annual MSU Student Book Collection Competition. We're here to honor six undergraduate finalists, to honor them, to celebrate, to recognize them and their collections. The fruit of their labors are all in the back there for you to see, and I hope you've already had a good opportunity to do that. As part of our celebration, I have invited one of the area's best-known book collectors and book dealers to come and provide a few remarks for us about book collecting and book dealing. After his remarks, we will get to the business of announcing the finalists for you. Ray Walsh is one of the best-known book dealers and book collectors in Michigan, indeed, if not the entire country. Most of you know him as the owner of Curious Books and Archives Books. He's also the owner of Argus Books in Grand Rapids and Curious Comics here in East Lansing. Ray grew up in Detroit, Michigan. He is a graduate of Michigan State University in 1971 with a degree in communications. I know Ray very well from a number of dealings that I've had with him in his shops. I know that he is a wonderful book collector. In fact, he has, I think, probably one of the finest private collections of science fiction in the world. It is one that I am greatly impressed with, and I greatly admire Ray for his collecting, and I'm pleased that he's here today to speak with us. Ray?
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be asked to give a talk on books and book collecting. I think I am sometimes a biblioholic and member of Book Collectors Anonymous. So my name is Ray, and I collect books. I've been dealing in books. Actually, I paid my way through college buying and selling paperbacks, which is tough to do. And be real tough to do now. The book market is significantly changing, and collectors are changing as well. When I started collecting and dealing in books, there was no such thing as the internet. You couldn't decide that you wanted to collect books and within a week have a full collection of your particular favorite author. All you need is money. Back then, if you had the money, you still would have difficulty trying to track down the books because there was no real good way of finding it. That one publication that's no longer in existence, called Bookman's Weekly, was a very useful tool back then. It's been replaced in a way with the internet, which now has a lot of different people advertising their books and what they're looking for. I brought along a number of different things for show-and-tell type purposes. These are some things that I've accumulated over the years. I've collected science fiction and started collecting. Basically, I opened a shop so I had a place to sell my duplicates because I didn't know what to do with them. I bought a collection of books. I had some books I didn't want anymore, and lo and behold, I ran a classified ad in a newspaper saying books for sale, and I was swamped with people who wanted to buy science fiction paperbacks. So all of a sudden, I was a science fiction specialist. I've exhibited and sold books at the World Science Fiction Convention and lectured on science fiction at the Clarion Science Fiction Workshop. The MSC Museum had some of my part of my collection on display a few years ago as part of a display of collecting habits of the American male. What I brought with me are some interesting things and some oddities. I'd collected science fiction for many years. There are a lot of different ways you can collect books, and one of them is collecting prize winners like Dune, which was the Hugo Award winner in 1966 as the best novel of the year. Some people will only collect award winners. They want them in fine condition. They want them in dust jackets. Other people will say, gee, a reading copy of a paperback is good enough for me. And so collectors are a very interesting breed, so to speak. Sometimes there's little rhyme and little reason for what they collect. I'd collected so much science fiction for a while that I had to buy a house just to, or rent a house just to store my books. That gets a little difficult after a while. But about 7 years ago, I went out to look at some books and ended up buying the house. The thing that appealed to me, the books weren't anything that exciting, but it had a big barn and a garage. Well, that was 7 years ago. The barn is now full and the garage is full. and my house is full. I'm not planning on moving, but the tough part when you collected books is trying to figure out what you want to keep and what you want to sell. And particularly in my business, when I have access to selling things all the time, but it's kind of a difficult decision trying to decide what to sell. One of the things that I was collecting, and still do from time to time, are autographed books by famous authors. And one of the things that I like, I can't say it influenced my life, but Bartholomew and the Ooblik by Dr. Seuss was a book that made a big impression on me when I was a child. And I happened to come across a copy that was inscribed by Dr. Seuss. Unfortunately, it's inscribed to Nancy, but I can't do a whole lot about that. Right? It's nicer if you can guess books that are inscribed to yourself. Sometimes you have to be careful when you're collecting books. This is a book that is The Lone Ranger Strikes, A Lone Ranger Rides by Fran Stryker, and it's signed by Fran Stryker, and also signed by the Lone Ranger and Tonto, which makes it a little difficult. Now, the interesting part is that the handwriting is different, so you don't know exactly who signed that, but you run into a little problem sometimes in the book collecting business, and also sometimes you can get nice leather-bound items, and they look very nice. You can also use them as checkerboards. Or if you get tired, you can use it as a radio. What do you collect when you've run out of collecting books? Well, some people would think you can collect Reader's Digest condensed books. And probably you've seen these at the Goodwill and the Salvation Army. But you probably haven't seen one like this one before, because this is not your typical Reader's Digest condensed book. This is a hiding place. So if you want to put other things inside it, nobody's ever going to take a look for this at your shelves. I guarantee you. Other things you can collect are fine leather bindings. This has happened to be a book that's in French. However, it has something else inside of it. It was hollowed out. These were used as smugglers' Bibles to get books and get items through customs, they didn't really have customs back then, but to get things across borders. And so you run into problems when you try to find interesting books, and once again, something different to collect. So this one doesn't have one inside, it's got two of them. And the second one is, this is what's known as a miniature book. This is on, it says Abraham Lincoln, but you really need a magnifying glass to enjoy it. So it's one of these quirky things. I figured, well, all right, I've collected books, let's collect other things that are related to books, but not necessarily real books, and that certainly qualifies. When I was first getting started collecting books, I decided to collect some things called salesman samples. And salesman samples, back in the early 1900s, around the turn of the century, through the 20s, salesmen would go door to door to farmhouses trying to sell books. And they would show a copy of the book. This is The Wreck of the Titanic. But this is a sample copy. The actual book is significantly larger than this. And in the back of the book, they would take orders. And so you could order the book and decide that would be, you could get them at extremely low prices for only $1 or $1.50, leather-bound and half Morocco. So I started collecting these, and I had 30 or 40 of them, and I came across an estate here in town at a garage sale, and they had 112, and I bought them. And all of a sudden, my collection was tripled, more or less. And it wasn't fun to collect anymore because, it wasn't nearly as much fun. So I kind of quit collecting for a while and then got started a few years later. And when I came across something like this, which just looks like your average juvenile Tom Swift type by Victor Appleton, except it's a salesman sample because in the back, you can order other copies of the books. And these are exceptionally rare. Where a boy's juvenile book of this type is normally a $10 item, this is a $100 to $200 item, and possibly more, because relatively few of these survived. And few of them were issued. The salesman would go door to door and sometimes carry something like this with them, and then they would be able to offer different types of books. And this is Poems We Love, and this is the size of the book. And they have different types. You could also get Baby's Picture Book of ABCs. Oops. Or our little Tots speaker. And they were because they primarily indicated had a lot of the illustrations, they didn't have the complete text of the book. They just wanted to give the reader an idea of what to look for in the real book. Some people collect Michigan State University memorabilia. This is a copy of Life magazine with a Big Ten look, co-eds from Michigan State from 1954. Unfortunately, the co-eds aren't identified in the magazine. This is something that I think that the MSU Library Special Collections is starting to collect, and Shirley is giving a hand in little cookbooks that were published. This is one that came out locally in Lansing. It's the annual cookbook of the Ladies' Aid Society from the First ME Church in Lansing, Michigan. And inside, in addition to having various ads from places that are no longer in business, like the Lansing Dairy Company, and still has an ads for Oldsmobile 6, they're still in business. But it does have a number of different recipes for cakes and other items. So this is becoming actually not only in Lansing, but in around the country, becoming more collectible and more desirable. Those are ephemera type of things. They weren't really sold that much. Sometimes they were given away to members of the local church, which makes them tough to track down. Some people who collect books collect them only in nice dust jackets. Dust jackets have a tendency to get worn and frazzled and disappear quite frequently. This is a copy of The Land of Oz, sequel to The Wizard of Oz, and the book itself is in excellent condition. The dust jacket is very hard to find. This is about a $1,000 book for someone who is seriously collecting Wizard of Oz items. There certainly is value to books, and sometimes it's a matter of trying to figure out what to collect and what shape you're looking for it in. In many cases, dust jackets are worth more than the book. This is a copy of Fantasia by Dean Taylor, and it has many of the color illustrations that you will recognize from the movie, but it also has protected the book. And if you're a Disney collector, the jacket is 10 times or sometimes 50 times harder to find than the book itself, and the value goes up correspondingly. I mentioned L. Frank Baum. Some people collect books or children's books just because they like the cover. If you happen to be a boy fortune hunter in Panama, this particular author, Floyd Akers, is actually a pseudonym for someone you've heard of, L. Frank Baum, who wrote a number of other children's books, other than the Oz books that he was most famous for. So just when you think you started your collection and have one of everything, when you have all the Oz books, you find out he's written 40 other books and more. Some people do buy books just for the cover art. The Oriental Fairy Tales is a very striking cover. Rare? No, it's not exceptionally rare. Pretty? Yes. Hard to find in this kind of condition? Yes. A display item? Sure. A conversation piece? If you've got a house where people convert, or, you know, can congregate and or see it, yes, they're certainly likely to pick it up. If you happen to be a Tiger fan, there's no end to what you can collect if you don't want to collect baseball cards. The rare edition of this is one that's signed by Leib, but also signed by Mickey Cochran and Harry Heilman, members of the Hall of Fame. Those signatures can turn a book from a $25 to $50 book to a $500 book. So being cognizant or aware of signatures and the values is kind of important. Some of the different guides we use to determine values, this is a price guide to autographs. It comes out every few years. This one has 700 and some odd pages and sells for about $25. But if you're trying to figure out what values are and you have an autograph of Winston Churchill, the author, as opposed to Winston Churchill, the statesman, it will tell you that there's a big difference because many more people are looking for the statesman. Reference-wise, there was used to be a guide that came out called the AB Yearbook, but AB is no longer publishing. and this would list specialties of many dealers throughout the country. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody is going to be taking its place. There are some other guides out that indicate dealers in and their specialties geographically. And I have some copies here. We did one for the state of Michigan. So if anybody's interested in finding out where dealers are in Michigan and bookbinders, we have complimentary copies available at the end so I don't get rushed all at once. I'll go back to talking about price guides. This is a useful price guide for 20th century books. More and more people are collecting first editions of authors they actually read and enjoy, as opposed to just, oh, Dad collected this, and I think I'll continue his collection. This is nice because it does have a lot of color illustrations and has a price range. The only problem with it is that this came out in 1994, and the market has changed a bit in the last 5 or 6 years. There are a number of other price guides out. This is a 1999 price guide to cookbooks and recipe leaflets. And you have to take any price guide with a grain of salt because you have to assume that the person who writes a price guide knows what he's doing. That's not always the case. Sometimes you can get carried away and put out price guides. This is a, almost 600-page price guide to Hardy Boy books. Okay, and so if you're a collector of Hardy Boy books or want to know whether it's a first edition, or it goes through the entire collection. And 500 pages on the Hardy Boys takes a lot of dedication for a collector. But there are collectors out there who buy these type of things. This is not a cheap book. This is a $60 book. So sometimes buying the price guides can be more expensive than buying the books. Other useful tools is this is one called ABC for Book Collectors. By John Carter, and it basically goes through and gives terms so you know what a spine is and what an end paper is and other terminology that's used. This is another guide that is handy. It's called First Editions. This is the third edition of First Editions by Zempel and Becker. They're working on a new one, but because the publishers keep changing the way they indicate First Editions, it's going to take them a while to get it out. Now, some people collect books that are oddities, and this is an oddity that came into the shop. We couldn't quite figure out what to do with it. The book is by David Morris. It says Illness and Culture in the Postmodern Age, and you look on the spine, and it says the very same thing. Well, the problem with the book is when you open up to the title page, it says The Healer by Greg Hollingshead. So we're you shelve something like this. We were going to put it on our 50-cent cart and figure people really confused. And I decided, you know, this would be a good thing to bring to a talk like this because what do you do with it? I imagine the publisher had more than a few copies returned, probably embarrassed because they put the wrong book inside the wrong dust jacket. But sometimes you can collect books just because they're strange. Or you're strange. You can collect them for a variety of reasons. One of the things that a lot of people are enjoying to collect or like to collect are illustrated books. And this is one illustrated by Howard Chandler Christie, who is a famous American illustrator. I've got a few others, but I'll be glad to talk about them later. I guess I've got to tie it up, as they say. A couple other things. There's a publication called Paper Collectors Marketplace and Book Source Monthly that also are useful for those who are seriously to collect. I'll leave those as people may want to look for them. And there's a book show coming up in October for anybody who's a serious collector. At the Lansing Center, there will be 120 dealers from 8 states in Canada setting up, and I've got flyers for that. If you haven't been to a book show, it's quite a treat because there's lots of stuff and sometimes more than imaginable. Sometimes people say, why do you want to keep a copy of a book by Kerouac, a paperback? Well, once again, when it's signed Jack Kerouac, it makes a difference. He's not signing a whole lot right now. If you've got other questions or want to know more about books or book collecting, sometimes you can find me across the street at Curious Books, and sometimes I'm at Archives. And also I have for the winners of the competition, I have some gift certificates and that Peter will hand out. And I congratulate everybody on some interesting exhibits of collectible books. So thank you.
Thanks, Ray. We'll keep these while you wait. Okay. Be good. Where's the Kerouac? Okay, that's good. Thank you very much for those remarks. I'd now like to introduce to you Cliff Haka, who is the director of the MSU Libraries.
Thank you. That was an interesting talk, and it took me back to my first interest in book collections, which was back at the University of Kansas when someone appeared with all the Wizard of Oz books. And she also had, and maybe this is the thing that sticks a little more, the autographs of every she contended person still alive who had been in the movie. So it was an extraordinary collection that went beyond books. But it was my first encounter with the collections. And when I came to Michigan State, I encouraged us to have a book collection contest. But until I became director, I think we did have one. But now I hope we'll make this an ongoing event. We will make it an ongoing event. Thank you for attending. I would like to thank all the people that the students that put in their book collections to be considered. This is certainly a time that of year round, and particularly here at Michigan State just now, that we can be overwhelmed with the success of athletes and other things. But at the core of the university remains, you know, academic and intellectual endeavor, and I believe that these collections certainly represent that. And while we will not have 40,000 people in the football stadium cheering these collections, we do think it's important, and we want to foster, encourage, and nurture activities like this. And for that reason, we will be continuing the book collection contest for years to come, alternating graduate and undergraduate competitions in alternating years. The other reason that we can continue these is the gracious support of the Friends of the Library to make this financially possible. The specific donors that have contributed have asked to remain anonymous, but I would like to thank the anonymous donors for making this possible. And at this point, I would like to welcome a Friend of the Library member who has been instrumental in encouraging this contest, Shirley Slyker, who will present the awards, I believe, the winners.
Thanks, Cliff. It's great to see everybody here today. I wanted to tell you who all the judges had been. And one was Jack Davis. He was Lansing attorney, and he's standing at the back waving his hand to us. And he's a community volunteer presently. He's a member of the Lansing School Board, plus other activities in Lansing. There's Courtney Holton, who's a librarian here at MSU. There's Dr. Scott Michelson. Scott here. He was here earlier when we chose who would be the winners, but he isn't here right now. He's a professor in the English department. Mary Ellen Wood, she's the manager of the Schuler's Bookstore. And myself, I'm Shirley Slyker, and I'm one of those e-commerce people. I'm on the internet, and I'm in this listing that Ray so graciously gave to you. I have Shirley's Book Services as well as being a friend. I wanted to have all the members, or all our six winners, come forward. Well, I'll call you by alphabetical names, and then after that, we'll do the presentations. But as I call your name, could you come up, please? Neil Beers. He's an undergraduate in political science and philosophy. In his statement, he notes that he is a firm believer in Socrates' tenets, and he resolves to examine life with eagerness and zeal. I think that's a good accomplishment for any of us. Josefina Diaz. Josefina is the second generation Filipino-American who aggressively searches for anything that will teach her about her folks' culture and her ancestors. Her book collection contains works written by and about Filipinos and Filipino-Americans. Josh Robke. He's fascinated with physics, which began as a youngster when his father told him stories about the nature of light and gravity and other ideas. He wrote a short statement that I'm going to plagiarize. I thought it was kind of good. Books are often considered a diversionary or leisure activity for most people. They are something one often enjoys as a momentary and often needed escape from reality. By allowing a reader to enter a different fictional world in which virtually anything is possible. Yet with books, one may also seek an ultimate knowledge of the world, that is, the true physical world in which we all reside. I thought that was quite nice. Barry Stiefel, is that pronounced correct? Stiefel, sorry. He began his collection at his bar mitzvah, which he received when he received a few books as gifts. These he's put on a shelf, and they accumulated some dust. Well, after a while, he realized he noticed a prayer book of his grandfather's, and from that, he was inspired about the Far East and Judica in the Far East. Anyway, he has a collection on Judica, which you can all see in the back there. David Tom is an undergraduate who is currently a resident advisor in Armstrong Hall. He's amassed a collection of books which are primarily quite a few from the 19th century. Mike Thomas. Mike has presented the history of computer science with a focus on people who work with computers and the sociological impact of computers. His collection is primarily first editions with 1990 imprints. And there are our winners. Now, we have a little presentation to get. Each of the finalists gets $100. The second place winner gets $250. And the first place winner gets $500. That's to encourage them to buy more books, I think. Don't you think, Mary Ellen? No. And David?
No, that's me.
Hi, David. He's a finalist, and with that, you get one of Ray's.
Thank you, Mr. Ray
Walsh as well. This is Josh.
It's me.
This is from the Friends of the Library and the library, and also Ray presented you with a gift certificate.
Thank you.
Josephina, thank you for presenting your giving us the Philippines. And this is from Ray Walsh, that's from the Friends. Neil, congratulations on getting $100, and there's your gift certificate. And let's see, we have two left, don't we? Well, I guess I will say Mike Thomas, congratulations for being second place winner and our $250 winner. And also, here's a gift certificate. And Barry, congratulations. And with that, I will turn it over to Cliff.
There are refreshments, and I hope you'll talk to our illustrious group of contestants and thank them for their efforts and congratulate them on their success. And thanks for coming.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Okay, so you've considered the